be just easier if Jesus were sitting with us right now through all of the junk that's happening in the world? Of course we think that. And Jesus' surprising answer is, no, it would not be easier for you. What in the world? That's a surprising statement. In my absence, says Jesus, guess what? When I go away, you're going to do greater works than I did.
Ours is a life of faith, not by sight, but by faith. And it's sometimes challenging. But as we'll note today in John 14, it is better for us to live by faith than to live by sight. Jesus tells us this. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us to John 14, verses 12 through 31. Let not your hearts be afraid. Here's Pastor Chris and today's program.
So I invite you to turn this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we're continuing our reflection in this gospel, verses 12 to the end of the chapter. This is the word of the Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer much talk with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. And there ends the reading of God's word. This is a particularly interesting section in the Gospel of John, one that I think that often gets preached and misunderstood. You could pull a variety of themes out of this passage. I think you saw that there. Which direction do you go with something like this? It seems that Jesus is highly repetitive in this section. It seems that it doesn't seem to have a lot of flow of exactly where he is going and what he's saying. And often this particular passage is preached what you would say more moralistically and in a way that is, we talk about first use of the law and third use of the law, and that Jesus is using the crushing use of the law to convict everyone of sin, and that the blessings flow from the obedience that we give. I think often this particular passage, though, is missed in its context. And that's a very important point to raise today, to look at this particular passage and to see the big point of what Jesus is doing in this particular section of John's gospel. The great issue that Jesus is addressing as he goes away to the cross, and as he's going to be away for a time in his ascension and then session on the throne, which is exactly the time that we're in right now, is how the disciples will go forward when he is not physically present with them. That's the issue of this passage. That's what's driving Jesus' words in this passage. Remember, Peter asked that crucial question that launched into this big discourse of Jesus. Lord, why can't we come with you wherever you're going? It burdened them. They wanted to be with Jesus. And they thought, wouldn't it just be easier if you stayed with us? Why would you do that? Why would you go away? See, that's the heart of this section. That's the context of this section. And we struggle with this very same question to this day. Wouldn't it be just easier if Jesus were sitting with us right now through all of the junk that's happening in the world? Of course we think that. And Jesus' surprising answer is no. It would not be easier for you. What in the world? That's a surprising statement. In my absence, says Jesus, guess what? When I go away, you're going to do greater works than I did. Talk about a confusing moment for the disciples. What in the world is that? That I could do or you could do greater works than Jesus? And that's what this passage is helping us with, standing back from it. What we hear Jesus is saying is, I have great plans. I have great plans that are going to unfold in my absence, and you need to take heart in the midst of this. You need to know your purpose in the midst of this, the purpose for which I am leaving you here. I'm not leaving you as orphans. Catch that in the middle of this. I'm not leaving you as orphans in this world. So this morning I want to look at this passage and break it down very simply as we understand what Jesus is saying to us. Jesus calls them to persistence in their purpose. You'll notice that here. And then he calls for persistence in his provisions that he leaves them with. And then Jesus calls for persistence in his peace that he has left them with. So we're going to look at these things today. The theme there, persistence in his absence in the calling that he's given to us. A very important message for us today. Such a wonderful section of encouragement for us in the midst of the times in which we live. Last week, you'll remember that Jesus calmed their hearts, speaking of a time when he would physically come back and he would take them to be with him. And we look forward to that day, don't we? That's the great truth of what we looked at in the future when he comes and all of this is over and he has, the kingdom of God has come in all of its fullness and we have entered into a place, the dwelling place of God. Revelation 22 captures that, and that we are in that dwelling forever with no more of this sorrow and no more of this struggle. But Jesus was comforting them with that word. Remember, I go to prepare this place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We're going to be together again. See, it's the heart of this passage. It's the heart of this concern of the disciples. You're going to be with me again. That's for certain for you. So keep that in front of you. He would go up in heaven. He would be seated after the cross event. And sometime after some time, he would come back in a physical return. He's going to, and he's going to raise the dead. And he's going to take all of us to be together with him. And Paul said, remember, thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's the comfort of this in the future. We will always be with him. He's our shield, our defender. But here we are in this particular section. The Lord knew his disciples were in this distressing moment, and a lot was falling apart all around them. He comforted them last time by taking all their troubles on himself. Remember that? I don't want you troubled through this. And the things that are about to happen, and the things that are happening now, Judas is betraying. They are about to stumble. Jesus has just told them, you will all deny me. That is distressing. And Christ comforted them about the future. But now he does something that I think is incredibly helpful, that I said the context is really important for us to understand. He begins to address how they are to go forward in his absence. That's what this section is particularly doing. In the midst of all this hardship, how are they to handle themselves now? How are they to behave now? What are they to do now? How are they to be focused now with what? Let me remind you again of the tsunami of problems that have come upon them. Judas, what is about to happen are the Romans are about to come and cuff Jesus and take him away right in front of their eyes. Jesus announces he's leaving. They are in the most confusing moment that they have experienced in their walk with Jesus yet. Confusing. They are absolutely perplexed. They are absolutely confused, and they don't know about the future. They're really struggling with this. They don't know how it's going to go. He is going to be struck. They are going to be scattered. But after consoling them, I want you to look at verse 12. Such an important verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to my Father. Now, why in the world would Jesus say that? And it must have felt as strange to them when he said it as it feels to us reading it today, doesn't it? What do you mean? It's important to say that Jesus is directing their purpose, persistence in the purpose for which he left them. What is he talking about? What greater works could we do, or the disciples and the apostles, particularly in this context, than Jesus? Well, Christ had been doing amazing works, hadn't he? Christ had really been doing amazing works. He had given sight to the blind. He had raised a man back in chapter 5 who had been lame for 38 years. Did you catch what he just said? You are going to do greater works than I did. What in the world are you talking about? Well, you ever read the book of Acts? They did. Jesus didn't get very far outside of Jerusalem in success with the gospel. They made it to the ends of the earth with the gospel in great success. I want to capture this point. See, Jesus in this section is doing something that is very important for understanding who we are and why he left us here. He's reorienting them to the purpose for which he left his people in this world, isn't he? You will do greater works. That is a remarkable thing for the Son of God to say to his people. And it's a greatly encouraging statement. What he was describing was the spiritual nature of their work. They would get into the hearts of people to the ends of the earth. There would be success of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that's the remarkable encouragement of, and you notice in verse 1, whoever keeps on believing in me will do these works. And so what he does here is he connects the fruit of their faith. If you truly believe in Christ, your desire, your purpose, your place is being fulfilled. In other words, the mission that he has given to his church is what he's talking about. I think we've always been a little confused about the Great Commission, but in some ways I think you have to go to John to understand it. Matthew 28 is usually given as the singular great statement of the Great Commission. I think this is the exposition of it. In the middle of their distress, do you see what he's doing? He's fixing their hearts away from all the problems that they're experiencing that have come upon them to the purpose and the plan and the reason that he's about to leave them in the earth. Now, this is a very crucial point of the Christian life. What happens to people in distress? What happens to people who are overcome with fear? What happens to people whose hearts are thrown into a state of intense agitation or panic or confusion? Well, you know, everyone gets sideways. Look at the culture right now. Look at the Christian culture right now. We have forgotten what we're doing, forgotten why we're here. And we have idleness. And we have people forgetting their purpose. And we have people fighting all the wrong battles. All the wrong battles. They never get off themselves. This is a big moment. They say this with people who suffer even something like depression. That could come for many different reasons. And that could come with the need of medical help. And that could come just for sin. There's many different reasons for depression. But one of the things they all say about depression is you got to get people up and get them moving, don't they? The best thing you can do is get people moving. The best thing you can do is reestablish a sense of purpose for somebody. We know that. If you know somebody who's depressed, go out and walk with them. Get them out. Help them. That's what we know about life. Inactivity in life leads to a directionless life and an ineffective life. And I believe specifically this is the encouragement that Jesus is giving to us and to his disciples and his church for the future of how to handle the very complex and difficult and discouraging moments of this life. Why did Jesus leave us here? That seems like such a basic question. And yet, for us, it's a very difficult one to answer today. It's remarkable. Why are we here? To make a lot of money and live the good life? And then cruise onto heaven in a couch? Why are we here? Remember, Jesus said, we're going to get there in the high priestly prayer, one of the crucial points he prayed, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into this world, so I have sent them into this world. See, he's very focused in that particular part of the prayer on the mission of his disciples, soon to be apostles. This was a big concern for Jesus. We always have to stop and ask that question. Why am I here? Why am I getting up in the morning? What is my purpose here? I have responsibilities, of course, basic responsibilities to live and to care for people and to live a life that is responsible. But in the big picture, why was I saved and why was I left here? Because God prepared a bunch of good works beforehand for me to do. That's Ephesians 2. It's Ephesians 2. The good works that you have are all prepared for you by God for a purpose for you specifically in life. That's what Ephesians 2 is saying. It says you're saved unto that. You're not saved by that, but you're saved unto that purpose. And these works are important. So this is what Jesus is focused on in this particular section. For them, particularly in the ministry, what was their responsibility? It was to save people from the judgment to come. That's what the apostles went out to do. That's what they were called to do. What's your purpose? Well, you may not be a pastor. You may not be an apostle. Every time the New Testament writers instructed Christians, it was to say, live out your days not as just an end in itself, but they gave lengthy portions of the New Testament on how to live godly and sacrificial lives, on how to help and become servants to help people. Think of all the ways the New Testament apostles wrote to encourage Christians in this way. If you're rich, guess what? You got a great opportunity to use all you have to help somebody. Whatever kind of situation you find yourself in, this is the way that the New Testament was teaching us to think. Use it. Use it. You all have unique vocations. Use it. To let Christ, as Paul would say, be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Use your deaths that way, he said. It's purpose, isn't it? The real purpose in what Jesus is saying is, I have works appointed for you to do in my name, so that people would be saved. That's the purpose for which I'm leaving you here. And that's the second thing then that Jesus does to encourage persistence in the resources that he leaves them with to this end, to strengthen us for these callings. Look at verse 13. This is great. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, when Jesus just said, greater works you would do than I have done, he was thinking about when the disciples would be sent out, apostles, to the ends of the earth, and the works they would do would be spiritual, meaning their hearts would be genuinely transformed by the Lord's power through them. Hearts would to the ends of the earth. What he's saying there's a clear effectiveness and tie to the effectiveness of our mission and purpose to the church and Christians and prayer. That's what he's saying. And notice in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It goes on. Whoever has my commandments, he goes on, and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, manifest myself to him. It's not just a general teaching on obedience. It's not what this is. It's an important section motivating them to their callings while he's absent. See, notice that Judas, not Iscariot, is not getting it. Lord, how are you going to show yourself to us? This was Philip and Thomas. We want to see something. We want something else. And Jesus goes right over it. Notice this. If anyone loves me, he's going to keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. In this case, do you see what he's doing? He's calling for them in the interim to be about his Father's business. And as he was about his father's business, and the commandment that the Father gave him in coming here. Now that's an important question in this particular section. Look down at the very end of this, verse 31. Verse 30, no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me. Well, what did the Father command him? What did the Father command him? See, this is the heart and soul of this section right here. What did the Father command Jesus to do? He already said it. You missed it in John 12. This. And I know that my Father's commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Massive encouragement. He's about to go die and fulfill that command. The Father sent me to give eternal life to the ends of the earth. That's what the Father told me to do. And I've come to fulfill that command. Isn't this amazing? The Heavenly Father, creation, providence, all things made through the Son. There was an eternal counsel, the commandment given, the singular great commandment Jesus talks about, that the Father gave the Son was to save a people to the ends of the earth. That should blow your minds. And Jesus, right in front of you the whole time in his walk, is so intent on fulfilling this commandment. And I believe the massive encouragement here is to be persistent in that calling that he's leaving the church with, and to be persistent in the means that God has given for the success of that to the ends of the earth. He's asking, notice him, fulfill the reason. He's calling them to fulfill the reason he's leaving them there. And here's the beautiful thing. He promises he'll hear us.
This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do thank you for joining us today. As always, it's a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments about the broadcast, we would love to hear from you. As always, we spend time here on Abounding Grace Radio encouraging you in Christ, challenging you in your walk and relationship with Him, which means questions will abound. You can reach out to us at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. 504-8805, or address your questions to questions@agradio.org. If you would like to use your voice memo app, record your question for us and then email it again to questions@agradio.org. Now, a great place for resources can be found on our website, agradio.org. If you'll visit that website, you'll also find links to our other platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris, especially as it relates to current cultural conditions that we find ourselves in the middle of. We also have videos available that Pastor Chris does with other pastors, and we also have an archive of past radio programs that have aired on this radio station, all at agradio.org. Finally, we do continue the ministry here on this radio station because friends and partners such as yourself come alongside us financially and prayerfully. We would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us and make a secure donation online at our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. You would prefer to make out a check to Abounding Grace Radio, and these are all tax-deductible donations, by the way. You can write to us with that check at Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. Well, tomorrow we continue our look at John 14, Let Not Your Hearts Be Afraid. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.